The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
How do you do, and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I am Brent.
I am Matt.
We enunciate consonants strangely in our contraction words here. That is for certain. Didn't let anyone tell you otherwise. Matt, what do we do on this show? I'm not sure.
We look at the internet sometimes. We produce comedy sometimes. How do we get to that destination? Internet reviews from places like Google, Yelp, Kohl's.com.
Yeah, some people would say that I'm on the internet a little bit. Some other people would call me chronically online. And I decided, I make people laugh sometimes. I make people myself laugh. This guy, Matt, he can make people laugh. He can go on the internet. Let's get together. Let's make a show. Let's look at the reviews. But today we're going to get some reviews. I don't know. Do you want to start? I could start.
I could start. I'll start. I've got what is both a good review and something that has a little flavor to it. This is a Google review of Hattie B's Hot Chicken, Nashville, Melrose location.
Ooh, I like hot chicken.
I would eat some hot chicken right now.
Absolutely.
I feel like this is a good foil to the hot ones hot sauce review that we had last week, where it's like, the flavor is being gatekept by the heat. If you're a soy boy, you're not going to get the flavor. That whole, like, that deal. So here's a Google review from Syed Ashrafala. Syed writes, I had the damn hot and the shut the cluck up. I highly recommend whatever is your highest heat tolerance on the white meat, where the meat itself helps pace you. I also rate their white pieces slightly better than their dark pieces, but that's preference. As for the sides, they were all so good. If I had to choose a favorite, I'd go with the coleslaw, then the pimento mac and cheese, then the black-eyed peas. On another day, with another alignment of the stars, I do the black-eyed peas first. A third alignment of the stars, and I do the pimento mac and cheese first. Do a half bird if you can eat two pieces. Always, always, always get a lemonade. 5 stars.
I mean, the man...
I'd give it a helpful. I would give that a helpful
that
thumbs up.
That is by definition helpful. I feel well equipped to have some chicken at this restaurant now, and the fixings, and as a bonus, the fixings.
Yeah, I know what to pair my bird with.
Does, depending on how your mood strikes you, you even
know. Stars.
You know how what order to have the sides in.
Hang on. I got to check the alignment of the stars real quick. I feel like it was a black-eyed peas days, but I might be wrong.
The Milky Ways tilted slightly to the right. Give me the mac and cheese, boss.
I'm now just picturing, like, the Montagues and the Capulets. Like, if only our families could agree on what side to have with our chicken, everything would be great. But nope, we're star-crossed.
Yeah, man, it was all going in good until the wedding planning happened, and we had to decide what we're filling that buffet with.
You're going to put coleslaw on our buffet, the first option on the buffet?
Throws off the whole feng shui of the plate.
Swords are being drawn.
Coleslaw?
Coleslaw is near and dear to our hearts and souls. And the coleslaw gets poisoned. I don't know. Let's write that.
The coleslaw gets poisoned. Romeo's got to take some mayo off of Juliet's lips so he can die lift? Too.
Anyway, you were saying?
I do like that this place has, you know, the hotness is for everybody. There's an accessibility.
Yes.
You can tailor your spice level so you can have a great spicy experience no matter your previous experience with the spice.
Yeah, I really like, I have been to a hot chicken restaurant before where it's like they have four items and they're all hot chicken, but either in a bun or just on fries. And they too had the menagerie of sauces. I really like Syed's peace of mind and be like, this white meat is going to help you get there.
Sure. It's a bit of a palate, you might say.
Yeah. You can't just have a mouthful of sauce. You got to have that white meat to carry you. Like shoulder some of that heat.
I love some big white meaty shoulders. That will carry me from the heat. Have you ever like ordered a spicy thing or a spicy level from a restaurant and you get the are you sure from the waiter? Ever happened to you?
I think so. I think when I was in Myrtle Beach, I was like, bring it. Come on. And it was not that hot.
It was not that hot. So you passed.
I passed.
An Indian restaurant in Tokyo that our friend Shintaro brought me to. You know, spice levels in Japan. It's not that Japanese people don't like spicy food or it's not available. It's just... Mm-hmm. The options are typically slightly muted. And I know curry restaurants and Indian restaurants, the bets are sort of off. But I just picture the scale to be in my favor. You know what I mean? And I think at this place, I got maybe a 5 out of 12 or something on the spice level. I thought, you know, just south of middle. The classic mild medium. That's ideal, right?
Yeah, just a little heat to dance on the back of your tongue.
Right, just one notch above mild, one under medium. I'm there, dude. But the waiter gave me the, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But I ate it all. But boy, was I leaking like a dog. Just like, and dogs don't even leak, bro. That's how bad it was.
Oh, no.
I was just the snot and the thing. But It was so good. It wasn't even hot. Like, it wasn't a painful experience.
Okay, not like crippling. Okay.
Right. I wasn't having a bad time. I was sweating. It was like, in a way, hard to eat. Hard to finish, but I loved it the whole time. It was perfect. I think it was perfect. Maybe one less or half less would have been perfect, but then there would have been nothing gained, you know, nothing ventured.
Right. You would not have stretched yourself. You wouldn't have grown or learned.
Right. I grew from the experience. It was just enough to be too spicy to enjoy comfortably. But not too much that it took away from any of the flavor. I don't think I'll ever have a spice level that perfect again.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. I'll take us from there, I suppose.
Please do.
This one is a review sent in from a lovely listener. Maybe, in my opinion, one of the loveliest, if not the loveliest listener. Tatiana Bailey, thank you for sending in this review from Amazon. For the Star Road Tim catnip ball, catnip toy for cats. Rotatable edible balls, natural healthy, self-adhesive catnip edible balls gray. Since Matt is indulging in some juvenile joy at that title, I'll send him a picture. He can describe for the audience.
Rotating edible ball. Oh,
what's the cat doing in that picture, man?
It's licking a ball. God, those are just unique, interesting sort of. I don't know. You got like a stoplight configuration of these spheres, suckered in these. I guess they must be rotatable, sort of like a salt lick for your hamster, maybe. And that cat is just. Indulging much as I am in
you know
this
what it
product.
Makes me think of
what's that
it's like one of those big plastic like toys that's like built into a playground, like a tic-tac-toe.
Yes.
Giant with the giant spinning blocks. It looks like one of those like playground equipment toys, but edible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Replace that. Oh, dude. I don't want to put fucking stupid ass catnip balls in this. I want to put jawbreakers in that. Put that next to my desk and just. Anyway, let's get to this review from Tat. This review is written by Zooey. It is titled Angel Cats Turned Monstrous Addicts Worried Emoji. Sweating worried emoji, I would say. I ordered this product 2 days ago. As I thought, my cats see me through glass doors smoking once in a while, and maybe they also want to get high? I woke up this morning to the package waiting patiently on my doorstep. As I unpacked the cat treat rollers, my boys began circling me like a cat cult, possibly plotting murder, I chose to stick it inside one of my closet doors so it was easily accessible as well as quick to put away. It stuck perfectly and the caps go on and off, no problem. I am capped all three rollers as well as the cat candy. Chet, age 11, was slow to understand how it worked, but quickly got the hang of it and stuck to the candy for the most part. Mowgli, age 4, was truly showing how empty his brain was as he huffed the floor for a solid minute before finally looking up and aggressively chewing on the catnip roller. I didn't think about how cats regularly eat on floors and not walls, but it doesn't seem to be a problem either way. I let them enjoy their new toy for a few minutes before the younger of the two started getting quite angry that there was another cat enjoying the toy. So if you have more than one cat, I'd suggest letting them take turns unless they understand what sharing is. To close this off, my cats have not stopped scratching my closet door, so I'll say 10 out of 10. We'll be keeping for the weekend fun and very cheap for the amount of enjoyment my boys have had. Dancing man emoji, 5 stars. And Matt, there are
pictures.
There are pictures. I originally thought this is perfect 5-star fodder, Instagram 5-star fodder, just because.
The
cats look like they're having a good time here.
That, I want to know if that's Mowgli, just the one on the ground who's like staring up.
Yeah, looking like the most perplexed bobcat there ever was. A bobcat so perplexed he lost all intimidation, looking off into the stars. Totally nipped out of his gourd.
Yeah, okay, wow. Cat people, man. I don't know what to say about them.
I mean, I think it's fun that she had the idea of like, man, my cats must be jealous I'm smoking this cool plant all the time.
That's a point I want to connect to one of the last things she said, which was, I'll keep it for the weekend fun.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not going to let your cats get high during the week? Since you did send me the review, I just went to this user's profile. If you have it up, I recommend doing so, so we can both enjoy the banner image.
Okay. So yeah, this seems suffice to say, based on the banner image, it's ripped straight from MySpace in 2007. This person is sort of an everyday user.
Yeah, yeah. What are we looking at here?
Very passionate about the product here. So you're saying, hey, cats don't do anything all day. What do they gotta be responsible for? Why right, can't they get nipped out?
Operate heavy machinery or anything like that.
They don't gotta go for a drive later. There's no one depending on them. You know, if an emergency, they're just cats.
Why shouldn't they be zonked out of their minds?
You would prefer your cats just zonked.
I kind of would.
Docile.
I want it, yeah. I want it to be like a head in the clouds.
You know, maybe that's what the man wants.
Oh.
Maybe this legalization sweeping the nation ain't it all cracked up to be, huh? They want the masses, like a cat licking a jawbreaker on the wall. They want you so strong, you don't even know how to eat off the wall. You've been eating off the ground all your whole life like a little freak. You put some food on the wall, we won't know what to do with it. And then that's when they strike. The lizard men, dude. We're just cats, the little lizard men. You got anything else to say about these kitty cats?
I don't know what I do, but I must. I must.
The review sort of speaks to itself. The funny little cats. Oh, we got to talk about the argument that these cats came to blows over the, the licking on the thing, which there are three lickable slots.
As well as a cat candy, whatever that is.
I think they called the nip the candy.
What's that? Is that fourth thing just like a little plunger that you use it to suction it to the wall? Is that what that little
yellow guy is? It's either that or is that like a... You put like a tasty kitty cat yogurt on that or whatever.
Cat candy. I'm looking at the product images.
Kind of ball.
It's got protein powder in it.
It says right there. Stuff. The cat mint ball toy includes three flavors: catnip, silver vine, and gall fruit, and cat candy. Is cat candy just like frozen tuna?
It says it's got isinglass, glass, soybean protein powder, carbohydrates, etc.
Oh, so that's just like their go-go juice.
I guess so.
You know, like, I believe Snoop Dogg always enjoys a Coca-Cola with his blount. So, this is their caffeine, their upper with their downer, bro.
Yeah, you gotta have a balanced mix.
They gotta go straight and narrow for that when they're on that cat tower climb later, all right? They need the energy, the protein.
When cat bites the catnip ball, it can grind off the dirt on its teeth. Clean the teeth, freshen the breath, and regulate the mood.
What? That's what I'm saying.
It can stimulate appetite, promote defecation, and improve the digestion and excretion of hair bulbs.
This is all stuff I want for myself. I'm telling you, we got to get this stuff going for humans.
I want to, give me that silver vine.
I want three flavored balls on my wall I can lick. I need the upper next to it, some sort of frozen... Like a frozen Coca-Cola, I would lick on that while I'm doing my little task for the man, for the lizard man. It's ideal existence. You have a review.
I do. I've got a Google review. This is for a restaurant in Galena, Illinois. Wonderful, quaint Galena, Illinois. It's a place called Ayala's Las Margaritas. It's a restaurant. It's a Mexican place. Here's a review from Anton Ego. Anton writes, if you ever wondered what Sherpa soaked in fermented alpaca urine tastes like, then rest assured you will be taken on an exquisitely revolting journey into the ninth circle of Dante's Inferno by consuming Ayala's morbid steak quesadilla. The eating of this said quesadilla resurrected Black Death era souls to beg me to rightfully burn such an abomination. Let me initiate this tale as if the tale was not already initiated. Let me initiate this tale by conversing about the Ice Age cold Edam, the butchered cow that mimicked chewing my own nose and causing me to nearly defecate in my own pantaloons.
Okay.
People in Salem during the witch trials were grimly penalized for saying Ayala's had nauseating entrees when they were simply stating the truth. Ayala's has impacted our existence and created dark times for the people of Galena, Illinois. I refuse to believe, quote, anyone can cook. 1 star.
And we're left with that. What do we have an average star review rating for this place or anything?
Give me, I can pull that up. You think I can't pull that up? 2.9.
2.9 out of 5. I feel like I've been to lots of mom and pop shops that just don't have the review volume on a particular site to push past that, any of the, you know,
They got 144 on the Google.
You're
going to
get more people talking shit than talking good for some of those places. So I think evidence conclusive either way is where we have to move forward from here. That being said, my man wove a tale of some food that didn't taste good. My man said food did not taste good in three paragraphs.
Yeah, he's vehemently stating how this was bad.
And we're not talking bad to the bone. Dun, 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 dun. He didn't eat the bones. He didn't get there. What if the that marrow was cooking, bro?
Just had to give him a chance.
What if that was the best marrow you've ever had?
There's a picture of a girl in a sombrero hat. I don't know how I feel about that.
A type of girl that shouldn't be in a sombrero hat is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah. a pretty white girl. Oh, with a snake print top.
If she was an ugly white girl, she'd get the pass. You know, she...
Yeah, yeah.
You don't got a lot going for you. You can try the sombrero on, see what it does for you. I see that review, I don't think is doing what they want the review to do. They want the review to keep people away, but it's only got me curious. It only is like, I'll go try that place for myself.
Well, the ratio isn't looking good. There's a lot of these one stars.
Yeah, but I mean, people...
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
People like to... They like to talk ish, and maybe there's... They're not just... You know, they're not begging enough people to get on Yelp and fix the score. Maybe they're laissez-faire about their review score. I got respect for that in this day and age, too.
To not have that stress put upon yourself. Just keep going until... until things go south.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. What's the over-under for a small business who probably makes most of their living off of repeat customers who also don't check Yelp? What's the over-under on spending their labor time trying to get people to leave reviews versus just letting it be? Who knows? The world may never know. Take one more lick of that piss-soaked alpaca. How many licks does it take to get the center of a... piss-soaked alpaca pelt?
I don't want to find out. I'd rather lick a catnip.
Yeah, there's a reason one of those catnip balls wasn't piss-soaked alpaca. I guess that's what the takeaway from that review, huh? Yeah. I got some balls to lick. You want to take a break?
Sure.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt. Hello and welcome. That's right, I'm talking after the break this week. It is a Brent segment, and I am here with my precious Max. That's right. It's the segment for when there's a bunch of reviews for a product that we think are funny and we have to talk about all at once, but there doesn't fit into any other segment that we remember doing ever. Mm-hmm. So we call it my precious Max, because we're maxing out these reviews. This one, Matt, is brought to you by a listener, Marcos.
Oh?
Marcos dropped by the reviewparty.com Gmail, reviewparty.com@gmail.com.
What?
And he wrote this letter. Yeah, I couldn't believe I saw it, an unread mail before you.
Get it.
A little behind the scenes, we've been using our college email addresses because it had infinite Google Drive storage, which is great for podcast archival purposes.
Yeah.
Big time. And the Google recently said, actually, colleges, you guys don't get to give your students free infinite storage. So we've been using other means of storing things into Google Drive. One being, oh, let's just use the free storage that Review Party has while we figure out what we're going to do with the archival. So I went in there and I saw this email from Marcos. Let me read it and get on with my precious Max. Marcos writes, "Hi, longtime sub here. I am finding these hilarious reviews everywhere about the Logitech controller used for the Titan submarine recently sank. They all died, and I didn't even know they were sick. Norm joke. I will lose my banana if some of these make the show." Then they go on. "The actual controller used was the Logitech F710, but F310 has all the funny Amazon reviews. Even on Slick Deals app, all the comments are about the submarine, and my God, yes, the YouTube F710 comments are on fire as well." This is it's one of those where, like, at the time of recording, it's losing its topicality.
Starting to fade.
So I apologies if we're not topical with this one, but it's great for archival purposes. And the submarine being crushed at the bottom of the ocean instantly.
Some debris came up these past couple of days, so it's still topical.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. that's wonderful.
So get ready to lose a banana or two, Marcos, because we are talking about some of those reviews. First thing I got to talk about is when I saw the email and then hit it from Matt, I quickly checked the Amazon pages and some of the other pages for reviews, and I saw them and thought, those are very funny. I'll let this cook until closer to the episode, get as many as I can, and then gather them up for the segment. Amazon, or I believe Logitech, has been going through and cleaning out the reviews related to the submarine. So they're missing. I did go on the Wayback Machine. It's hard to snipe a screenshot right when, like, you know, a couple of them were up, especially navigating Internet Archive within a page, you know, it's kind of rough. So if you want to go on Internet Archive, the Amazon, like Marco said, F10 had a bunch of them, F710 had a few. You might be able to go on and check just for recording's sake. I saw a lot of them around the Wednesday, the June 21st and June 22nd. You could probably check on there. But I have some reviews from other places as well, just so we have some funny reviews to talk about. Here, one from Amazon that missed the deletion spree that I was able to grab was one of the questions. They missed the questions.
They never look there.
Overturn the Q&A rock, do they? So the question is this controller waterproof? I'd like to use this to navigate my deep sea submersible and want to know if we take on water, the controller will work. The answer by Chris, if it doesn't work, you can return it.
Oh, no.
So I went onto YouTube. Those are... like Marcos pointed out, it was a great place to find them. There's a lot of old reviews from, you know, 1 or 2 years ago that are now, I think, much to the creator's delight based on how many of these comments they liked. A few of them, it was easy. It was like the creator already went through and liked all the good ones for me. And that sort of pins them to the top of the comments. So, yeah, you can go look at, like, just, you know, content creator reviews for these controllers and on YouTube, and there's lots of funny ones. Some I have here. Main Ravelo 7396 says, "I recommend this gamepad for a total immersion experience." We got one here from Call Me Hero 2023. "The reputation of this controller is Titanic." Let's see. Smells Like Tuna 234 says, "This controller's to die for."
No.
Comey VR says 10 out of 10. "Use it for a submarine expedition." Mad 6063 says, "Truly allows you to sink and immerse into the experience no matter what console you play on. It implodes my heart how good of a controller this is." With the given price point, despite better controllers existing,
The value and realism this controller brings is almost lost my mind. 10 out of 10, highly recommend. This controller got me a KD of 5, definitely recommend. 100 emoji. Skylar Gray 455. This controller is so good. It has dual vibration feedback motors that let you feel the game. Discover a new level of feedback. You can feel every hit, crash, and explosion in game. And the ocean floors that support the vibration feedback. Metarada says, would you guys recommend this for a submarine? Asking for a friend. And Daniel Vass says, I recommend this game controller to get deep into games. It's breathtaking, really immersive. Cammy Maxwell 5039 says, is it waterproof though? It is so beautiful. It takes my breath away. I want to see your review go in depth next time. Tanya Anden 8248 says, hey man, any chances you could help me troubleshoot this controller? It disconnected and I'm stuck at the bottom of the ocean. Here's some from a different YouTube review. Manchicoin 9249. I believe it's good enough for a 2023 submarine at least. Badass Skull Gaming says, the sea of competition is crazy. Logitech really put a lot of depth into this controller. And then this one had to be the finisher for this little set of reviews. Can I Have a Quarter says, all jokes aside, this controller was probably the most reliable, well-tested subcomponent of that submarine.
That's bad.
Yeah, we didn't touch upon the sub at all. I mean, I think me and Matt talked about it, but yeah, homie's gotten in a PVC pipe for $250 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm all for some Ed, and Eddie. Like, let's tape this to that. And
the 2x4 technology, dude.
But if I'm going to the bottom of the ocean, nah. I'll trust it. It's just at like 10 feet down. Beyond that, no thanks.
You know, if they're like, yeah, we converted an old Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, I would have trusted it more than that thing.
For sure. It'd be more comfortable, for one.
Has like a limo in there, unlimited wieners. Ooh, see, boy.
Snacks.
Hopefully they got the balls on the wall, too. That's it for My Precious Mask. Thank you again, Marcos.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for pointing us in the right direction of those reviews. There's some buttes. There's some buttes. Matt, do you have a review?
It's been a while since I've done a long boy.
Oh, long boy Troy?
I might do a long boy Troy. I have an Amazon review for a book called Ella Minow P, A Novel in Letters.
Okay.
That friend of the show, Jess, just talked about to me. I don't know. I was like, that sounds interesting. I'll look up reviews on it and see what someone says. This is a review from Alex Grace. Alex titles their review, What Would Happen in Letter Are Taken Away? And Alex writes, Ella Minow P by Mark Dunn. Review! 20 years ago, this book was published, but it seems like it could take place at any time. The book's use of language is the most amusing the alphabet has been in a very long time, if not ever. It may not be the most insightful or groundbreaking book I've ever read, but it does what it sets out to do. Ella Minow P makes you look at not only how important each letter of the alphabet is, but also when the letters can have good intentions, but not necessarily doing what is best. Ella is a young adult living on a small, made-up island off the coast of North Carolina. The island is named Nollop because a resident named Nollop came up with a sentence that uses every letter in the alphabet at least once. He encouraged a culture on the island that was centered on the use of language. Everyone in the island has a diverse vocabulary and is very educated. There is a Nollop monument in the town center with the sentence put on it in tiles. But when the letter Z comes unglued and crashes to the ground, the council sees it as a sign that Nollop wants that letter banned. As each letter comes down, the letters are removed from the island's lexicon. Libraries are closed, books removed, and the town descends into crisis. Ella takes the challenge to bring the town together to come up with a way to convince the council that they need the letters back. The book is told exclusively in letters, so the reader watches as the letters are taken one by one from Ella and around her. They change weekday names, and people have to choose between changing their name or leaving the only home they have ever known. It is amazing to read pages and realize at the end that certain letters have not appeared at all. The characters are not very well rounded, but the plot makes up the difference. It is a quick read. I read it in one day. As a word nerd, I got very involved in how Dunn managed to completely drop letters in speech and writing. It is much harder than it looked. The lesson in censorship is as important today as it was in 2001. Liberty is in the ability to speak however you need to and read whatever you want to. The government stifling speech begins the loss of liberty for all. The superstition element is important too. The tile tumbling is perceived as a message sent by Nollop, but they have no evidence. That does not stop the council, though. They make this superstition law, as they simply all come to the same conclusion no matter what the town thinks. The reason a law exists is just as important as the law and why laws in general exist. This book is not the most deep look at these concepts, but it is a great introduction to these ideas and an awesome conversation starter, especially with younger readers. P.S. Did you notice I left out the letter F in this whole review? 4 stars.
Wow. Did you verify?
Fake! You're a liar! Gosh darn liar!
Lies. Jeez.
I'm so angry at this review. First of all, in the sentence itself, did you notice I left out the letter F? I mean, you're putting F in quotes. I'll give you that one. But when you say you left out the letter F, well, you didn't in that sentence right there. But yeah, let's go back from the top. Let's see. It's the most amusing the alphabet has ever been in a very long time. If not ever. Oh, that was in the second sentence of your review, Alex.
Man, someone's got to tell
living
Alex.
On a small island off the coast of North Carolina. Barreling on. But I know there's more.
This guy's got to figure out the old control F.
The control F.
The control F.
They removed the F from their keyboard so they couldn't.
So they could control F with their
There was one where it's like there's 3 words in a row that. Where was that? Of course, I just took a screenshot. So
I mean, that thumbnail makes me sad because it was such a great review for what seems like a good piece of art.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of lost in the translation by saying the book happens in letters. It is literally like letters written from characters in town to other characters
right,
in town.
Right, that's what I picked up. And then when they said the letters with the letters, it kind of confused
me. Yeah, it gets confusing. But it does sound like a very cool concept.
Right, and there is the double triple entendre is in effect on purpose, of course. Mm-hmm. That's written in letters. That's not, you know. There is entendre happening. Which we love. We're all about the entente here. Single, double, triple, quadruple. Entente. The Big Mac.
Anyway, plot makes up the difference. Mm. There's stifling speech. Government is stifling speech.
Sounds like the little idea of not having any F's in the review was stifled by their own egotistical ways.
Your own hubris brought you down.
Mm-hmm. There's no F's in that sentence, was there?
There was none.
Easy money.
No Z's either.
Easy money, baby. I got a review.
Yeah. That was just... I could have searched for a funny review of the book, but when I read that one, I was just like, you make me angry.
we got plenty from it. Do you want a... Amazon review for some knickknacks, or do you want a rate your music review for some music?
Oh, give me the music.
Or I have a few, I think two. Some rate your music reviews for the Misfits album Walk Among Us.
Okay.
From the released in 1982. So a bit late into the Misfits career. I don't know if Danzig's still with them at this point. sort of pre-Danzig, post-Danzig Misfits. Mm-hmm. But this, we got a few reviews. To be clear, I really like the Misfits. These are not positive reviews of the Misfits, but they are funny. Our Salad Money has this review. They title it Spooky. They write, "The Misfits catalog is one of the more confusing in parentheses once semi-underground rock, but it does hold some of the best use of tape and recording technology ever. Unfortunately, the album that's technically considered their debut here is pretty mid. The recording suffers from Misfits' muddiness. The whole band sounds like they were mic'd up 20 feet away. The bass is all over the place. And sometimes Danzig's, oh, there it is, vocals are non-existent. Generally, the songs are pretty mild and uninspired for the band at this point. Looking at the track list, it's hard comparing songs like Attitude, London Dungeon, and We Are the 138 against stuff like Violent World and Vampyra, and not be severely underwhelmed. The random placement of live performance of Mommy, Can I Go Out Killing Tonight is really odd. And the track Hate Breeders is one of maybe the Misfits' few genuine musical riffs, but it falls straight on its face after the 1 minute mark. Still, Danzig and Company pull through some bangers like Skulls and their best song ever, period, Astro Zombies. 2.5 stars.
Astro Zombies, sick. Yes.
Yes. We can all agree. Family, come together. Astro Zombies is sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly, I also like it because My Chemical Romance covered it for Tony Hawk video game.
Yeah. So it's got that special feel in the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad cover either, but.
A misfire from the Misfits. I mean, I guess speaking of My Chem, their first album, it does have that, like, boy, the production quality is not quite. If you were there from the beginning and you go back to listen to that first album, it's like, oh, God.
To me, a garage band production quality where it sort of is aware of it and leans into it, or is like truly classic. Like, it sounds sort of ironic because, you know, mm-hmm. it made the mold for it. It's much better than, like, a, like, highly overly produced pop song that sounds super thin.
Some crystal.
Because of its crystalline nature, which, well, you know, not just this Misfits album, a ton of Misfits tracks that you'll come across while you're trying to figure out how to listen to them in this day and age. It's kind of par for the course, you know. But, yeah. I wouldn't replace it for the world is how I feel about it at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of old albums like Protest the Hero. That's a Canadian metal band I like. Their first album absolutely sounds, you know, they were teenagers who recorded it in a garage. But I kind of like that version as much, if not better, than the remastered one they came out with, you know? Mm-hmm. There's something raw about it, baby. Raw and wriggling.
I'll talk about you listen to Cold Spring Harbor, Billy Joel's first album. Mm-hmm. Not quite on the same musical shelf, but hearing him do things differently and also singing much higher because he's a younger man who hasn't quite. Well, no, he tried to drink Drano when he was a teenager, so maybe
the balls on the wall haven't started spinning so much, right?
Right. You wouldn't have had what you know the best if that stuff hadn't come before it.
Right, and there's something you can never do again about that rawness, about that sort of ignorance, that lack of experience, you know, when you're just going for it to an extent. Mm-hmm. Where, I like the later stuff better usually, but that I love that feeling. Anyway, because sometimes when you strike gold in that feeling, ooh, that's special. Astro Zombies, case in point. Scout 31 has a very quick review. Seems too gimmicky for me to really get into it. 3 stars. That one was just rude.
Gimmicky? Okay.
I think because, you know, it's like horror rock, right? They talk about, like, chopping people up and eating their brains.
I guess, but they have, like, an actual Halloween themed album.
Right.
That, I would say, is gimmicky when they're singing the Monster Mash.
But I kind of like that,
listen.
Too.
Yeah.
They're kind of respecting where they came from, you know? They came a little bit, like, Yeah, if there wasn't these goofy doo-wop dudes singing about Frankenstein, we probably wouldn't have been able to sell 10,000 t-shirts. More than that, 10 million t-shirts.
With a skull on it.
With that skull on it, baby. More popular than them. I'm sure they have quite the relationship with that. Nick Sue will leave with their review. They title it. I really like this one because it seems very much like a Zoomer, like, you know, someone who grew up with an access to all music ever, something that we sort of saw happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where bands like Modest Mouse and some other small bands like that were able to explode just because, like, the reins were off. The music, you know, the corporations couldn't control who. Right. What music was discovered, you could just find it. So this is a great example of it. Like, this is a kid who grew up in Any Music Is Possible, and they like to try music, and they wrote this review, and I really like it. Anyway, Nick Sue titles their review The Ramones But Scary. They write, Misfits really does just sound like sped up Ramones, but they talk about scary things. Does that mean it's bad? No, but a 25-minute record shouldn't really sound this long. But I guess that's kind of the point of this music, in that it's supposed to all sound the same. I don't know. Fuck it. I'm not going to get into this, but it's a good album. Scary Ramones music. 3.5 stars.
All right. I like the attitude all around.
Right. There's something open about it where they're not thinking too hard, but they're like, I kind of get it. You know? Yeah,
there are certain bands that are like that, where like you hear one song, you're like, dang, I like this. Let me hop on that whole album and see what the rest is like. And you're like, oh, it's just all like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
isn't bad, but sometimes it's just a lot to take all of it at once.
Indie rock band Interpool has the worst, like, samey albums ever. But the bangers on those albums are like, whoa, you know? It's almost worth the experiment of making 13 sounds that sound exactly the same, so you get, like, the best two versions of that sound.
Yeah, I was listening to Flaming Lips earlier today, and it's like, meh, there's some bops on this old What's-Her-Name Fights the Giant Robot or whatever it is.
Yeah, I like that album.
But also there's a lot of, this just sounds the same, and I'm very experimental, which is cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, 12-minute jam sessions.
But, yeah, it's like, all right, at this point, I'm just going to skip ahead to the song on the album, and then I'll be done.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one with the, do you realize?
Yep. And that's been stuck in my head ever since.
You have the most.
The most.
BeautifulReviewParty.com podcast on the internet. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's 158. Boom, boom, boom.
A boom, 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 boom.
Special thanks to Tat and Marcos and Jess for contributing.
Thank you all.
Thank you all so much. You make this podcast go round. And thank you, listener, to making it to the end here. You're part of the Real Ones Club. Congratulations. Real One, I'm sure you'd like to know if you didn't know already. We got new episodes of this podcast every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. Haven't missed a Tuesday in over 158 episodes.
Woo!
Even if it's a greatest hit sometimes, if we need a little breaky, but it's still that hot content in the kitchen, baby. Yeah, so check it out every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. We got them. Hit the follow, hit the subscribe, hit that button there. You know which one it is. That helps us out a ton. Just one little click. Even if you don't utilize that follow, the feature of it, just a click goes a long way for us. If you'd like to send in a funny review like Tat or Marcos or Jess, you can hit us up on reviewparty.com or at reviewparty.com, at gmail.com. Send us an email there, include your name. We'd love to throw you credit for it, buddy.
Hey, if you want to reach out some other way, guess what? We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok at ReviewParty.com. We're on Twitter, too, at ReviewPartyPod. I don't know why it's different. Ask God. Maybe he knows.
Character limits.
Okay.
That was the voice of God.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, God. Or you can go to reviewparty.com, like in your internet browser, when it comes up at Yahoo homepage or msn.com, you don't have to stay there forever. You can go to reviewparty.com, where you can read the blog, reviews are written about, or reviewing platforms, or people who write reviews for their jobs, or ways you can get things for writing reviews, all sorts of interesting things are written about. You can listen to all the episodes there too. You can see all the cute little episode images that we've ever decided to use. You can go to our shop and see whether or not we have bucket hats. I don't know. Maybe you got to look to find out. And there's a newsletter you can sign up for to get weekly updates and poetic waxings.
Wax. Check it out. And very big thanks to our buddies Nosebleeds for letting us use their jam bread for breakfast. They let us use it as their theme song. You've heard it throughout the episode. If you want to hear more jams just like that, more than just being the Ramones but scary. They're sort of the Ramones but tingly. I don't know. It's maybe, you know, put that on a fucking ad, boys. That'll sell some records. Nosebleeds, Spotify, one word. Check them out. I've got a review to finish us out here. I was looking at reviews for Monster Hunter Rise on Steam. Ooh. And this one I knew would make Matt laugh, so I had to grab it. This review for Monster Hunter Rise on Steam is from Mr. Ditter. They have 43.9 hours on record with the game and 7 hours at time of review. They write, "I got booty slammed by a big-ass snow panda. Recommended."